Rush gig.
How many have you been to?
About six, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one thing, and really, and I say this very sincerely, one thing that they are really known for with their gigs is the whole staging and the lighting. They put on a show. And I asked Howard outside, can we really expect this on Thursday night? And you said,
it's one of the best shows that we've put together in many years.
Just let me stop you right here. Howard, how did you end up being in this radio station tonight?
Martin, I was drinking in the bar last night, as always.
Yeah.
And I'd run into these people.
Yeah, from Radio Nova, and we cajoled you to be here tonight.
You twisted my arm, yeah. And I've come in.
Oh, we didn't have to twist it too much now, I've got to tell you.
Not really, because I really enjoyed coming in and speaking to everyone in Ireland, because it's been a while.
It's been never.
Never, yes.
Never. We're very excited about Rush being here. How much work is involved in you guys, you know, getting this show on the road? What are we going to see that's going to be spectacular on Thursday night at the O2?
There's a concept this year that was put together by Neil Peart, and he came up with an idea about using a genre called steampunk. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
Steampunk.
Steampunk. It's a genre that the motion picture directors have been using. It's almost like the Victorian age meets modern day technology.
Okay.
Years ago, there was Jules Verne who put together a lot of different types of movies, and the movies entailed these outrageous steam-driven machines, sort of like old machines combined with modern technology powered by steam.
I guess that a nod to that I can instantly think about is the train in the end of Back to the Future 3 with the steam train that's meshed, I suppose, with the time-traveling ability.
If you've ever seen the Wild Wild West with Will Smith.
Right,
Okay. So we have created a show surrounding that sort of concept that leads us into their upcoming record that's going to be finished hopefully by next year, called Clockwork Angels.
Yes.
So this time machine tour that we've started in the United States really wanted to bring it here to Dublin and into Ireland to the people to see it before it went away, because it's very unique and very interesting, and we've had a lot of surprises with it.
So how many screens then will you be utilizing on Thursday?
Screens? We have one big screen.
Just the one?
Right. Yeah, it's just what you do with the screen. That's the important part of it.
Is this like a screen at the back of the stage?
It is.
Yeah,
and we
okay.
use it basically as our backdrop.
Right.
Not to give the show away,
no.
But there's a lot of great special effects that we've put together, and because we have three of the best musicians in the world.
You sure
yes,
do.
We
it
do.
Is a, you
it,
sure
you
do.
It's
yeah.
a pleasure to be able to sit here and speak to you about the design of the show and the concept of the show and how we all put it together.
Because it would all make sense now when I looked at the graphics for the show, when you see the old sort of inner workings of a very old style clock or something
yes.
like that, the whole thing comes together, the time machine tour, right?
So Howard, are the guys, are they very much a part of being involved with designing this with you, or do they come to you and say, look, this is what we want to do, you go away and put your design in it and then come back and we'll take a look? How does that work?
It's a consortium. What we do is I have free reign with the lighting, and the videos are put together by Getty's brother, who is a producer, and a director named Dale Heslop. We all sort of brainstorm ideas, and then Alan, who's Getty's brother, puts it together. And we color code it, make sure that it all fits in with the show. And all the ideas, basically it's voted on. And we come up, everyone pulls their own ideas in. And the consortium rules. And then at the end of the day,
democracy.
We let the creative people deal with our ideas and bring it to fruition.
Right.
This is Radio Nova. I'm Carol Dooley with Marty Miller, joined tonight by Howard Ungerleiter, who is the lighting designer for Rush, talking about the gig on Thursday night. How many people does it take to put all this together?
In total, there's 32 that work with Rush directly, and we hire another 30 local crew, so we're 62.
It's not a massive amount of number when you sometimes hear of gigs
like
this.
No, not when you see the show, actually.
Yeah. You think that there's hundreds working on it.
Oh, there are. And we have a lot of things going on. We have structural engineers involved.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of motion in the show.
So are you guys over in the O2 right now putting all this together?
Tomorrow morning. The day after tomorrow.
Thursday. The day of the show.
The day of the show, we will come in approximately 9 o'clock in the morning, and it'll be up and running by showtime.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. What happens if something goes wrong? Yeah. I shouldn't even put that out.
What happens if somebody drops the backdrop?
It doesn't happen.
Of course it doesn't happen.
It's like a pit crew.
Yeah, well, we've plenty of Harvey Normans here. If you need a screen, they're good for those big LCD screens or whatever. They'll do a good deal.
I was talking to Howard earlier on, and just because you guys are here for, you know, a couple of days, and you're just hanging out, and
excellent.
You know, they went to the Guinness.
Oh, we're having fun.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Had four pints there today, I understand.
Why not?
Right, okay.
But I'd just recommended to him to go and see the Thin Lizzy, the Philinnet exhibit. Yeah. And Howard, you were saying that Thin Lizzy actually opened for Rush.
Yes, in the United States, Thin Lizzy had done numerous shows with Rush.
So Geddy and the boys would know Phil Lynott, and they would know Scott Gorham extremely well.
Yeah, we were on the road with Phil Lynott and Scott Gorham and Brian Robertson, you know, nutter. That's
yes.
We had a great time with them, though.
Touch wood. It's still going strong, but it's still pretty nuts, actually, because we had the pleasure of meeting him at Phil's anniversary at the 25th anniversary not so long ago here in Dublin. Right, well, Howard, you have got your work cut out for you. It doesn't sound like you're too pushed about it, mind you. You can just, we'll roll in there on Thursday. We'll get it all done. It's going to be a mind-blowing show, though, isn't it?
Martin, when you do it every day, it's sort of, you know, but I really enjoy doing it every day, and that's the thing, is you have the passion to do it and put on a great show, especially here for everyone in Ireland. It's just, you know, incredible.
So Alex and Neil and Geddy, when do they fly in? Are they here on Thursday as well, or do they come
Wednesday? She's just short of asking what hotel they're staying in and what room number is it.
They're here.
Right, well, there you go.
They're here.
They're here.
They're here. Are they here?
They're here.
Really?
Yes. Let's get the main man on the phone, because we were delighted yesterday when this happened.
I'm looking for Marty Miller, please.
Speaking. How are you?
Hi, it's Geddy Lee. How are you?
Geddy Lee, how are you, more to the point?
I'm fine, thanks.
Very excited at you guys coming to Dublin.
Yeah, so am I. I'm really looking forward to it.
Geddy, can you repeat after me? I, Geddy Lee, apologize to Radio Nova.
I, Geddy Lee, apologize to Radio Nova.
It's listeners and the Irish Rush fans.
It's listeners and the Irish Rush fans.
For never dropping by before and playing live for you.
For taking so bloody long.
You are going to put it right on Thursday at the O2, aren't you?
Oh, we will, yeah, for sure.
So listen, Geddy, I mean, what has actually taken you so long? Because it's not like this is the first time, you know, you've done a European tour. So why up until now have you avoided us?
Well, you know, it's a good question, and it's something I've always asked my manager. No word of a lie, every UK tour we've ever done, I've requested that we play an Irish show. And every time I get the itinerary back, I see there's no Irish show included, and I'm always disappointed. I've always wanted to come to play there, and I really don't understand to this day why it's taken so long. The only thing I can think of is the promoters are waiting for us to be mature and good enough to play there finally.
Geddy, have you ever been to Ireland personally, never mind the band or touring?
No, I never have. It's my first visit. I'm totally excited about it.
Now, you're doing Geddy Moving Pictures in its entirety on Thursday, which is very exciting. And a lot of bands now, that's what they're doing on their concerts. You know, they're taking their albums and just doing them from start to finish. I mean, this might seem like an obvious question, but why did you choose that one? I mean, I know it's probably one of your most successful albums. Is that the reason why you chose to do it, or is there another reason that we need to know about?
Well, when we started planning this tour, you know, we wanted to write some new music, play some new music, and also play some songs that we hadn't played in a while for fans. One of those songs being The Camera Eye. And Neil kind of came up with the idea of doing the entire album and playing that song in context of the whole album, primarily because it was the 30th anniversary of that album anyway. So it just kind of all worked out that we were able to satisfy that, plus add some brand new material, and that's how it kind of turned into a time machine tour where we're kind of bouncing all over the different periods of our existence.
So you're not just going to do Moving Pictures then?
No, we do like a 3-hour show that includes songs from all kinds of different periods, and plus a lot of kind of us just playing out and jamming. So it's a full evening of Rush bombast.
Geddy, I had a sneak little look at the set list, and if anyone was running late, stuck in traffic or whatever, we would miss spirit of radio because it's played early on, right?
Yes, you would.
It's the first one out.
It is the first one out, yeah.
Would you do it again?
No, we try not to be late, folks. We try to, like I said, we have, a minimum of 3-hour performance. We do 2 sets. We take an intermission in the middle. And we have all kinds of video and, it's quite a full package, our shows. So if you're stuck in traffic, we usually try to hold the doors, hold the show until we can see that most people are actually in the venue. So we'll do what we can to help the traffic situation.
But you're not going to do a Guns N' Roses on it? Keep us waiting for 2 hours.
No.
Hey, listen, I got to ask you, because I know that you're a bit of a wine buff. And you also, from what I understand, when you're on tour, you take it all very seriously, and you don't exactly kind of live the so-called rock and roll lifestyle, and you don't drink, and you look after your health, and you watch what you eat. Do you still do it? Is that still part of your plan when you're touring?
I certainly look after my health, and I certainly try to live a healthy lifestyle, but I wouldn't say the drinking part is very accurate.
Uh-huh.
Is that whole rock and roll lifestyle really not as lived as we think it is?
Well, there are so many different kinds of rock bands, and their motivation for being a rock band is different. We're musicians first, always were, and so for us, it's important that we're in shape to do the best possible show we can do. And our music is a little on the complex side, and you just cannot do that for 3 hours a night if you're not in good shape, physically and mentally. So yes, we like wine and scotch, and yes, I'm looking forward to coming to Dublin and drinking some Guinness and the whole bit. But that comes after the show, and that comes on your day off, and you have to make sure you're still in shape to do the show.
Rush's Geddy Lee on Radio Nova. He's going to be here on Thursday playing live at the O2.
Absolutely, and in its entirety, for the first time they've ever done an album, Moving Pictures, and I am so looking forward to hearing them do the live version of this. Tom Sawyer.
Radio Nova on our slightly extended rock report tonight. It's our Rush special as we get ready for the Rush Boys rolling into town this coming Thursday at the O2. The excitement on our Facebook page, on Twitter, on everything about Rush coming to town, it's just so noticeable, isn't it, Carol?
Well, there's a huge fan base in this country, obviously. And I think the fact that Rush has not played here before, that this is the very first time, and so many people have now the opportunity to get to experience what they've only been up to now, experienced on either, DVD or listening to a CD or whatever.
Or if they happen to travel for
a
show.
Outside of, outside of home turf.
Sure.
I think that this is just like blowing people away. And really, we've got Howard Underlighter. Howard.
Have you been up the Guinness thing with
Howard? I'm just so excited. Yes. I wish I had. Underlighter here, who is the lighting designer for Rush. And, I think Howard already, you can feel it. You know that this is going to be a great night.
Oh, yeah, no, it's going to be an amazing night. And I'd like to thank everybody in Ireland for supporting Rush the way they have. It's amazing, and we're so looking forward to this. Thank you very much. And Radio Nova.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. We're big Rush fans,
sure,
here. We did catch up with Geddy Lee. We had a very interesting conversation with him yesterday. If you'd have seen them, even on DVD, you'll know that they're not called the Power Trio for nothing. Geddy Lee, very much a multi-instrumentalist. In fact, sometimes on stage, it looks like he's playing more than one instrument at any one time. And in fact, he actually is.
Yeah.
And we asked him, therefore, yesterday, because it is so busy on stage, did they ever think about bringing in another musician to help them out?
Yeah, we've gone through a few periods where our music started to get really heavily layered, and I used to say to the guys, maybe we should just bring a keyboard player or something so that we can still be free enough to play and to entertain our fans. And it always felt like that idea was an invasion, and we always kind of got the sense that our fans would rather see us just the three of us on stage. So we've invented this wacky kind of one-man band kind of attitude where we all have multiple responsibilities on stage. And now that technology has evolved to the point where we can have, you know, sequencers and samples and, you know, we can trigger all these things ourselves on stage. And it makes it challenging every night, and it makes it awkward at times, but at the same time, we have the ability just to still remain a three-piece band.
Geddy, you know, after all this time, you've been together like 40 years now. Are you still good friends? Because members of the band, Alex Lifeson, Neil Peart as well, of course, you know, have gone through their own tragedies or their own challenges, and I just wonder how that kind of impacts on the whole dynamic of the friendship, you know, behind the scenes.
Well, those are the kind of things that bring you closer, you know. Like, I would say, without any exaggeration, we're probably closer friends today than we've ever been backstage before the show. It's about the only time where we're all sitting still and we can catch up on what did you do on your day off and, you know, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Of course, you know, then we see each other every night on stage and we try to make each other laugh throughout the whole show. That's part of the thing with us. Is that you have to think of some way to crack up your bandmates at some point during the show. And the idea is if you can get them laughing so hard that they make a mistake.
So this is actually a challenge. You do this. So
it's just like the unspoken challenge we have every night. To see if, you know, could we always check in with each other when we're not, like, tied to our keyboard posts or whatever. And
what sort of stuff have you done in the past to make maybe Neil or Alex crack up?
Well, you know, you try to remember, like, you know, over 40 years, you have, you know, umpteen inside jokes, right? You try to mouth it to the other guy to think about, put them in mind of some embarrassing moment or something like that. And, you know, and of course, Alex is always the winner. He's the goofiest guy on the planet Earth. He's, like, just the other night, we were doing a show in Stockholm, and when he's in a good mood, he's like a man of a thousand faces. So he just made this one face that was just completely absurd. And I couldn't stop laughing through the show. I couldn't look at him for about minutes during the show because every time I did, it cracked me up.
I love that. That's excellent.
Yeah, so that's the kind of... Does that mean you're good pals? Yes, it means you're good pals.
Talk to us a little bit about the new album. That's been slightly delayed, isn't it, because of the tour?
Yeah, it has. We didn't expect the tour to be so popular, and we've got so many requests to keep extending the tour that we've kept delaying the production. But we have about, aside from the two songs that we're playing in the show, we have about five more songs written and arranged. And we hope to write about three more plus. And then in the fall, we'll put that all together. And hopefully by Christmas, the record will be done.
Geddy, I mean, how can you describe this album? Can you give us some insight? Because, you know, your music over the years, I mean, you've gone through such kind of different changes where you try different things and kind of, you know, different sounds. What are you doing with this one?
Well, you'll hear in the show, the first two songs were quite heavy, quite powerful. And some of the other songs we have written are quite diverse. There's one song in particular that I think is one of the most beautiful melodies we've ever written. And there's another song that is a very complex in terms of atmospherics, quite atmospheric song. And then there's a couple other songs that are really pretty hard charging. So, like most of our albums, we try to make sure there is a wide variety of styles.
Every Rush fan will agree with me, Geddy. You know, the fact that you guys have never been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is an absolute travesty. God knows that you deserve it. I mean, how do you feel about that? You know, particularly as a Canadian band, do you think that has anything to do with it? What's your take on it?
Quite honestly, I try not to think about it because this is something we have no control over, and I understand why our fans are frustrated with it. I feel more for our fans about this issue than I really do for us, because we're in the band, we are involved in the day-to-day working, and we just move forward. So we don't think about things like that. You know, it's not up to us. But I do feel the frustrations that our fans feel, and I see it on a nightly basis. And so I know they're frustrated, but I just tell them that, look, you know, we're so young, we have plenty of time for that.
Like it. Geddy Lee from Rush on Radio Nova. So looking forward now to Thursday as well, aren't we?
It's going to blow your mind. It really is. Yeah, it's going to be a great night. And if you're listening, thinking, crikey, I want to go and I don't have a ticket. Well, don't worry, because we have a chance for you to win a ticket. We're still joined here by Howard Ungerleiter, who is the lighting designer for Rush.
Uh-huh.
And I know, Howard, I mean, we say it's going to be a great night. I know it's going to be a great night. You're the one who really knows how good it's going to be, because you designed the whole thing. So
everything we see on the night, Howard, you have designed, right?
Basically, all the effects and lighting that are in the show, I have put together.
Okay.
And as I said before, the video was a pool of ideas from everyone.
But it was down to you to translate that into light,
yes,
as
correct.
It were, and the visual effects that we go and see on this big screen.
Yes, that's what I do, yes.
Excellent. We do have a set of Rush tickets to give away, and Howard, we'd like a question from you, seeing as you've been working with Rush since day one. No better man to set a question. You're going to need our phone number here, 440-4100, to call and get a set of Rush tickets if you know the answer to this.
They're going to be playing Moving Pictures at the show. So yep.
What year was that recorded?
Yes.
All right, see what you did there. Right then. 440-4100. Howard, so good to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Martin,
Carol, thank you for meeting Howard.
For falling into him last night.
Yeah. And twisting his arm and getting him to come in here and share some secrets. We are in for a treat, aren't we, on Thursday?
100%, yes.
Okay. 440-4100 if you want to go and see the treat that Rush have in store for us on Thursday at the O2. That has been our extended rock report.
Indeed. Marketing, thank you very much. Howard, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll do it again.
Geddy, thank you very much too.
Geddy, you're a superstar.
The hottest rock news on the local, national and international scene. On The Rock Report with Marty Miller and Carol Dewey. Radio Nova.
And I'll get some Queen on for you in a minute.
And now, your Nova Entertainment Guide.
Hi there, this is Louise Maloney for Radio Nova with a look at what Nova recommends around town. The Dirty Nines, Nicole McQuarrie.